What are you even looking at right now?
I'm just trying to clean
up. Are you on social media right now?
No, I'm cleaning up my phone just so that I don't get distracted by everything else on my phone.
So before we've even started, you're already distracted by other things. Do you need to put it on Do Not Disturb?
No, it's on silent.
Like, that's not the same thing, but okay. Sure. You'll still get notifications in this. It's fine. You don't have to. I'm just suggesting. All right, welcome to the A to Z podcast. Another week here with Zeke. Don't have April with me again, but this time that's my fault because I couldn't get my ducks in a line. But thankfully, I have another guest with me. And today I'm going to introduce Joanne Tham. Joanne, welcome.
Hello. Also, not a Tham anymore.
Oh, you're not a Tham anymore.
No, officially not a Tham.
You're officially a Quok. I have to call you a Joanne Quok. See, that feels weird to me to do. Because you've always been a Joanne Tham.
That is true.
But you're actually... Oh, yes, because I changed your papers for you.
Yeah, you signed off for
me. I signed off for you becoming a... Yeah, that's right, yeah. So you are officially a Quok. That's true. Now, Joanne, welcome. How about you introduce yourself, Joanne? Who are you? What do you do? Or what's your background, your work, your roles? Yeah, give us a rundown of who you are.
Ooh, big. Well, my name's Joanne. I am a mom, a daughter, a wife, a sister in Christ, a sister, and I have 2.5, almost 3 children.
Well, you're announcing that.
Yes.
2.5.
2.5, almost 3 children. Last one will be out later this year. Yeah, and my husband's Michael. What do? I am a mom, first and foremost, I guess, in my day-to-day stuff, but I also work part-time. Yeah, so just busy with the chores around the house, busy with the kiddos, busy as a wife, but also having to work in the secular world, juggling that. It's been good. Lots to do. Keeps me busy, keeps me on my toes, but it's great.
It's interesting that you, when you described yourself, you pointed out mum first.
Mm.
Now, I know I did give you the heads up that we would be talking about parenting because that's what the sermon was about, work in the home. But I don't know. Was that something that just came up naturally for you, or that's truly how you identify yourself first now?
Good question. I reckon if you asked me this question a year ago, I'd probably give you my background from a secular perspective first. So for those who don't know, I work in the food manufacturing industry. And that was great. And if people ask me, what do you do in the week? I talk about that first. And then also my mom. But things have changed this year. A lot's actually changed this year. And I guess being able to enjoy momhood. My identity of work has been questioned. I've had to think about that, step back a little bit and think about how work has changed me and whether I hold that close to my heart. So yes, hence why I think I'm enjoying the mom side of things, and that's why I introduced that first.
Now, you did say you've got 2.5 kids, so I can't imagine that they're both under 1. So that means you've been a... Sorry, I'm notoriously bad at math. But your kids are older than 1 is the point I was trying to make. And you said, yes, that in this last year, you've undergone a big change in terms of your thinking.
Mm.
So you have been a mom prior, and you're still a mom now, obviously. Mm. So what's changed in the last year that... Now you say, well, you think about it differently.
Yeah. Ooh. How do I make it concise?
You don't need to make it concise. We're on a podcast. You get all the time in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well,
and if it's too long, you'll edit me out anyway.
No. I was just going to say you've got 40 minutes, but, you know, yeah, I will edit you out. No, I won't. So what's changed? What were you? Yeah,
I was a mom before. I'm still a mom. I haven't run away from the responsibility. Cannot, never will, can't. No backsies. I guess... Yeah, so early this year, I actually got made redundant from the job that I studied for, I did uni for, I've worked in for, I don't know, 10, 12 years now, and I had to rethink about my role after leaving it, after being told I was no longer required. Don't know the reason for it, but I was in a part-time role then.
Mm.
Now it's very, very, very hard to find a part-time role in the food industry.
Right.
Whether that played a part in it, I am not sure. And now I'm in a completely different industry. I'm just doing admin. And to, you know, most people, you'd be like, oh yeah, admin's not much. It's not great. It's, you know, there's not much of a title to it. Am I now looking towards being a mom and finding joy or like finding my identity in being a mom? I don't think so, but I think I have really enjoyed time with the family and with the kids and being more free to do that and having a lot of joy. I'm not being tied down to the 9 to 5 and having to go to work, but having that flexibility. So I do, like, yeah, 2024 has been a game changer in many different aspects, many perspective of work and family.
Yeah, I know around that time where you were being made redundant that you were already having those thoughts about, like, you were already rethinking about your roles. So it's almost like the situation that the choice was made for you in a way, because I know you were thinking really hard about it at that time. And I just wonder, it's it's hard to get a part-time job in a lot of those higher up roles, because just the demand of the job is that you have to work full-time, you have to be there for the team, you have to be there to perform in that way for the company or whatever it is, or the business. Now you're already thinking about going into part-time, because that's why you're coming back from maternity leave, you're doing a part-time role. There were some funny things around that. But yeah, once that decision was made for you, you could have easily pursued another full-time gig, but you chose not to. You chose not to. You decide, you know what, I want to keep a part-time role of some sort, even if it means, you could say, taking a step down, and I'm doing my fingers in inverted commas, taking a step down into an admin role. And just to put it out there, admin roles are not a step down. They are a very important role, and I live and die upon my admin staff in every role that I've been. So shout out to all the admin guys out there. You're a special people, special in a good way. But yeah, anyway, you decided to find a role that would suit your timetable, in a timetable that revolved around your family, your kids. Talk me through that a little bit.
I think it's important, as in, I had to wrestle a lot within myself, had to have conversations with Mike about, you know, whether I should pursue full time to keep, you know, doing what I used to do, doing what I have been so invested in, what I studied, what, you know, I put in so much effort, money, professional development.
Right.
So that was a big wrestle, as in the money's better. Everybody knows money talks, and we have to make a living. Versus, you know, having that step down, and unfortunately I still have to work, but then thinking about, I guess, how to serve the family, and not compromising on that. So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but yeah. I think understanding where, you know, the two little ones, you know, the two kids that I have, one's 4 and one's 2, and it was really important that I invested in them, not while they're little. Like, I want to be present for them in general. And we've even talked about what's life going to look like when they go to school. And I don't want to see it as a part where, oh, kids are in school, I've got more time on my hands, let's go full time.
Right.
That's not something that we want to work towards, unless we financially really need it. But I do think that I do want to invest in the kids' lives. And that's something that, you know, it's always been something that we've had to keep talking about.
Right. So something in the back of your mind, you're like, you and your husband, Mike, and like something that you guys have been chatting about, considering all areas of your life before making a decision in any one. This sort of sounds like what you're talking about. So yeah, that's interesting, because I mean, as a society, we have certain expectations. I mean, you talked about, you know, you grow up, you study, go to uni, you know, get a job. And then once you become a mum, I mean, sort of change is forced upon you. I imagine it's also the same for guys, but to a little bit of less of a degree. But I mean, the realism for moms, certainly, that's a huge thing. And when you started to consider that, I want to be around for the kids more. Why didn't you think, well, maybe I should just chuck them into daycare or chuck them in school, and then that's totally fine? Why do you want to be around for the kids more?
Yeah, I think definitely thinking about why I wanted to be with the kids more. As in, we could do the bare minimum, make sure we have food on the table, make sure they have clothes in their back. But I think I was convicted in Deuteronomy, something like that. It is a passage in Deuteronomy 6 about how we should, you know, teach our kids the ways of the Lord, and teach them to walk with Christ and know Christ. And as much as my kids love Sunday school, and they do Sunday school on a Sunday, I don't think that's enough for them to get to know Jesus. Right. And the only way they're going to get to know Jesus is if you spend time with them.
Right.
And so that was really quite a huge thing for me. I think action speaks louder than words.
Sure.
And I don't think you're going to have enough of that influence unless you had time with them. Yeah, and I guess we are working out how to strike the balance with showing them Jesus, but still making sure that everything else is also being covered. I still have to work, like I said. So it was definitely a big thing, but making a conscious effort on yeah, spending the little time or the time that we have with the children is really important.
So you've really, had to think about what time you do have, how you're going to use it. Of course, there's some aspects of still needing to work to survive. That's a reality. But what time you do have, you want to spend intentionally with the kids. It sounds like what you're saying, right? So what do you reckon it means to be a parent? You're talking about Deuteronomy 6. So I guess the question is, what does it mean to be a parent? You're talking about providing the bare minimum? There's more to that?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. It's been like 5 years.
It's been five years.
Trying to figure out what this parent thing is like. So many books out there.
Yeah. Have you read many of them?
No. Maybe like Instagram reels, because ain't nobody got time to read a book. I should. I should spend more time reading books on parenting.
Do you generally read books?
I have been trying to read books when I have time.
I think I've got two or three of your books that are half read. You've got notes in about half the book and then the other half is white.
Correct.
And blank. Yes. Anyway, so you're trying to learn what it's like to be a parent. I know, I completely get that. Yeah, still trying to figure it out. Even after 5 years. And I imagine for all the parents out there who are even over 30 years, I bet you they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So what does it mean to be a parent? I wouldn't have like 100% answer to that. Still trying to figure it out. But I don't know, maybe being responsible for those under you. Yeah, caring for them, being a role model to them. You know, I guess we've got our physical, earthly, biological parents, but I guess we also have spiritual parents that, right, you know, have invested in our lives, or we can invest into the lives of those who are younger than us. And that's also, being responsible for their well-being. So I guess that's what a parent means.
Spiritual parents, not biological parents. What do you mean by that?
Oh, spiritual parents. I guess, teaching them about God. Yeah, walking with them in life, pointing them towards Christ. So they're not birthed by us. We're not blood related.
Right.
But we have a sense of responsibility towards getting them to grow in spiritual maturity. I would see that as a spiritual parent.
Right. So they could be anyone at church, really. I mean, or anyone who's around, because you just think about all the people that influenced you growing up. That might not be your parents. Yeah, there's other people out there, like older brothers or sisters or even uncles or aunties or, you know, whoever in the church. They could not necessarily be spiritual parents, but they do have a spiritual influence on you.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that gives me an interesting thought. I remember someone telling me that it's everyone's first time or that everyone's first go at life. And that made me really rethink about how I relate to other people. That not everyone has the answer. Whatever they're going through in whatever stage they are, you know, whether I'm relating to, you know, older people who are older than myself, it might be their first time being a grandparent, or it's maybe our first time being a parent, or maybe it's someone else's first time, I don't know, going through uni. Well, we can all speak into each other's lives. And I certainly think as a parent, and, you know, especially with the youngest of all, the babies and stuff, it's their first time going through life for the very first days. And there's a huge part there where we're bringing them up. To learn the ways of the world, really, whatever that looks like. And I suppose, that's probably one aspect of those things that you're talking about wrestling with as being a parent and what that means. But like you were saying, we're all just trying to figure it out. We have no idea what we're doing. And I'm sure that's a relief for a lot of people to hear that after 5 years, Joanne Kwok still hasn't figured it out. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. We've been talking a bit about, you know, you've decided to take more of an active role in the parenting side of things in your family, or just being for the family there more. How much of that was a joint decision, and I just between yourself and Michael, how would you say that parenting works there? So I think what I'm trying to get at is, you know, what advice would you have for guys, or I don't know.
Like in terms of parenting and how we sort of pull our weight.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Collaboration, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Good question. Because I think, parenting is definitely not the sole responsibility of the mom. As much as we do have the more nurturing side and we have, you know, we are more present with the kids. But my husband's definitely very involved with the kids, making, you know, conscious efforts about work and, yeah, how to be present with the kids. So I guess for those who don't know, my husband works at home. He only goes to work one day a week. In God's kindness, it's been super helpful. So there's days where I need to run out and do an errand and somebody needs to look after the kids. And he's present. I don't have to worry about, you know, finding somebody to look after the kids or, yeah, them being abandoned. I can call upon my husband to help me out. But I guess he gets to finish on time as well. And he's around for the kids during, like, you know, the shower time. Or he's around to help cook dinner. And he's around to play with the kids. And so we do try and make ourselves available so we can spend time with the kids and avail ourselves. And, yeah, the little things do add up. So I'm grateful for that. And I think we had to also think about even choices of work. He used to work quite far away. And, you know, it took him like an hour to get home. Both directions. So by the time he got home, the sun was down and, you know, the kids were cranky and I was tired and just wasn't in a good mental space. But yeah, he gave up that role to look for something else that was closer to home. And I am very, very appreciative of that. Yeah, because it definitely took a whole load off my shoulders. Yeah, and just being able to know that I've got a partner that I can rely on when I need help. So that's been, yeah, very, yeah. It's just been really good. It's been a good teamwork looking after the kids.
That's fair that there's it's a joint effort on that front, and the fact that you've made lifestyle choices around what you obviously value as family is very important, and you've made all those lifestyle choices around that. That's huge. But what about people who say they're in roles or the choices they make that it does keep them at work a bit longer? Because you're even saying before when he's in his old role, he didn't have that liberty. Like he had to be, he had to work far away, he had to travel and it'd be after dark. You know, what was it like in those times? And for the reality is some people don't get to have that choice. What do you reckon?
It is hard. It is hard. Definitely. You know, where I know people where, yeah, mom's sort of with the kids until the sun sets and it's late. And it is, as in, we're all in different stages and we're all in different roles and vocations and stuff. But I guess for dads to be present when they are finally at home, and I know it's hard because you're exhausted as well and you've had a big day at work, but I guess praying for strength, for God to give you strength as you walk through the doors. It's not like, oh my goodness, I have to come back to chaos in the house, but getting excited to serve the family and getting excited to serve your wife by looking after the children, it definitely takes a load off our shoulders. Just the attitude of, yeah, being keen to spend time with the family. Just doing that is, yeah, it's a huge, huge relief for us. And I guess just, yeah, I guess if your wife needs help, just ask. And if she asks for help, just step up and try and do what you can.
That's fair. So it's just being fully present when the times that you are there. Not bringing work home, if possible. Of course, there's going to be times where it is, but it's a matter of reprioritizing or rethinking about where you're spending your time and energy, isn't it? Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I do wonder, actually, is there such a space as where you can't get yourself out of a situation? I mean, sometimes the choices are made for you, like, you know, in your situation. But I do wonder, I mean, where we live in a society where we get a lot of choice. You know, so I think there's certain aspects of, yeah, we work so hard our whole life for a certain role, but it doesn't mean we can't do other roles. We can't do other jobs. I don't know. That's just a thought I had. So, yeah, I don't know. If I'm wrong, tell me. I'm happy to hear it. I'd love to hear all your thoughts on this, but I don't know. I feel like there's heaps of choices you could make. You could do this job. You could do that job. You know, there's no one job, really. And if you think family is really important, and maybe it's worth rethinking about what you're doing that helps support that. It might not be easy, but maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Because, I mean, that's the steps you've taken to do that. What would you say, those people who aren't parents, what incentive do they have to listen to this? And what would they even be thinking about as they go through, whenever there's parenting stuff that comes up? We've both been not in parents before. Where do you think, that lies?
How can we, I guess, yeah, invest in the lives of those with kids, even if we don't have any kids, thinking about it.
Or do they have to?
Or do you need to think about having kids?
Or do do they even have to think about investing in the lives of kids? Can they just do their own thing? I mean, certainly as before I was a parent, I would have to think about anyone else's kids. Do my own thing.
Yep. Well, I think, and again, I'm not sure if this is right because parenting is hard, but as a Christian and being a Christian community, I would think that looking after the children or looking out for the children or thinking about how as a non-parent, thinking of ways we can invest in the Christian children in our lives is big. I think I go back to being that spiritual parent role model, even though they're not your biological children. Yeah, looking out for the kids, building that relationship, talking
with
the kids.
Yeah. Sorry, you mean as in, my bad, non-parental, I'm going to say kids, non-parental people. What do they call them? Just people.
Yeah, people. Parents.
People.
No, just
should
people
be investing into kids. People
without
kids should be investing into kids. Is that what you're saying?
People without kids should continue to think about investing into kids. Or not continue, but should actually think about their roles and how they can play a part investing in kids.
Oh, sure. Sorry. I got lost. My bad.
Yep. I think it's important. I don't think we can, as much as parents can show Jesus to the children, it's also, you know, when they say it takes a village to raise a family, I think, yeah, it's cool when the church can come together, whether you're a parent or not, and show Jesus to the children, even though you're not a biological parent, because all these little interactions that you have with them can still show them love and kindness and compassion and grace, self-control.
Right, right.
And so these are still, yeah, things that will, you know, hopefully when the children look back, they can go, oh, so-and-so showed me love and kindness. This auntie or uncle showed me, you know, what it means to be, yeah, loving, what it means to be gracious to each other. And that's still a really cool thing. We're still investing in the spiritual lives of these children. So yes, I would think it's still very important.
Yeah, actually, now that you say that, it makes me think about how I think about kids running around church. And oftentimes, I'll probably just sort of brush them aside or not think too much about them. But really, my actions could actually mean something to them. I never thought about that. Like, I just sort of thought you go play with them and then they just let them do their own thing. They run by. But you never know with, like, some kids falling down or maybe they want to try and get something and you help them out. That actually might make an impact on them. And I guess, man, they're just people, hey. They're just
little, mini humans, but still needing.
still fully human, just a bit little. I mean, I never thought about that.
Well, there you go.
But even old people, you can invest into. They're still human. They just they just shrunk a little bit, but they're still. I'm joking, but I think yes. You know, you're certainly right that we can invest into the lives of kids that are around, just people who are around at all. I mean, sometimes you could view high schoolers, primary school kids, even uni students as kids, and it's, why not? I mean, depends on how old you are, but
that is true.
You're only thinking about young kids.
We could be kids in the eyes of, like, the older, more mature adults.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And we're still the kids in their eyes.
So they could invest into me.
And they could invest into us. That is just as important. So, yeah.
We're all investing into each other. That's the important thing.
For the sake of the kingdom, yes. I think that's important.
Okay. Well, Joanne, tell me about...
We can talk about whatever you want. The joys and the struggles of parenting.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. What's the joys and parents of joys and struggles of parenting? I struggle to say that. Joys and struggles of parenting right now. What do you reckon in the last 2 years has been your one learn from being a non-parent to now a parent?
Oh.
I'm thinking there's some people out there who are thinking about having kids and They'd probably appreciate knowing the challenges because who wants to read a book?
Yeah. Just listen to the podcast or just use Instagram. That's literally how I should do it. Not a good influence. Not a good...
So you should... Yeah. What? You're saying you should use it?
Instagram. Well, I use Insta because I don't have time.
That's a lie. Everyone has time.
Yes, that is true. I could be more productive with my time.
I wonder how much your scrolling on Instagram actually looks like. Yeah. Like how much time there actually is there.
Yeah, don't look. Best not to look. But joys and struggles. Oh, so much. You can probably have joys and struggles in the one day. And it's both... It's been a very humbling journey. You know, it's very different to reading all these parenting books and then feeling like you've graduated and getting a certificate and being like, okay, cool, you can now be a parent because you can't control your kid. You're better off going to work, talking to colleagues who are adults and get the job done to some degree. Sure work can be hard to, you know, at some point of time. And it's hard working with different people that you don't love. but being at home, it's hard. You've got a toddler, two toddlers, and they don't want to listen to you. And you're trying your very best. And then they decide to just kick back and yell. And
every time Ollie comes over to my house, he's always face on the floor.
Yes.
He's always crying in some manner.
Yes. Yes, he's quite sad. He's quite a sad boy.
That's just my impression of him. He's always tripped. Tripped over and just... on the floor lying down.
Yes. He hasn't changed. And then you're exhausted. And then you're going, how can I show Jesus to my son while I am sleep deprived and I'm exhausted? Or how can I show Jesus to my daughter who I've done everything I can, but I picked the wrong dress for her. And now she's having a meltdown.
How do you show Jesus?
Oh.
Have you figured that one out yet?
Oh. No. I think I've shared with my life group. I've asked for a prayer from my life group about, just me and asking for help for the Holy Spirit to help me be humble.
Right.
To recognize that I am a sinner.
Sure.
And I need help to, show love to the kids, be gracious to the kids, like how Jesus showed grace to me. And learning how to say sorry.
Right.
That's probably a big thing that I've had to accept. I'm not better than my children. To be humble. And take it on the chin when I've stuffed up. And I've had to get down on my knees and say sorry to Isabel. Say sorry to Ollie.
It's funny that they recognize when you do say sorry. I don't know if they actually get the full implication of that, but they still recognize a tone or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's a very, very humbling thing to hear. To say sorry to your kids and recognize that you are wrong. And I suppose that is modeling a Christian life to your kids. Yeah. Any other things that you've found you do? Do you do anything like bedtime stories, or do you talk to them? I don't know.
Yes and no. We did try. We were reading a book by Nancy Guthrie on prayer, and we were doing that for a couple of nights, and then something happened, and then our schedule went out of whack, and then now we don't do it anymore. But you know, it's the kids have been wanting to take turns to pray at dinner time.
Hey, that's cool.
Which has been super cool.
Yeah.
And just seeing like them repeat the stuff that we would say and thank God for.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you can see that they are absorbing and they are observing how mom and dad are you know, praying to God and the stuff that we pray about. Sometimes it's very simple, but it's really quite cool to see the kids wanting to pray and they see it as an importance. So the little things still matter.
It's just modeling how we live our lives reflects in the kids as well, because they pick it up and learn. So, I mean, that's something I've been thinking about as well. And with all my actions, do I choose to do things, I don't know, I could chuck the TV on and put on a whatever show, or I could put on a Christian show, or maybe it's even like going out and looking at the world, looking at the park, and instead of just saying, oh, how nice is today, you could be like, look, how cool is it that God made today like this? I don't know. I'm figuring out. I don't really do it, but that's just my theoretical mind. But I'm sure, One thing I have been actually looking for, parents out there, if you've got any recommendations. So you know how kids love nursery rhymes. So James is my son. He's currently really into nursery rhymes. I've not found any real solid nursery rhymey Christian books. I'm sure they're out there, but
like catchy.
Catchy. Bible story songs, you know?
Right, right.
Like, apart from like Colin Buchanan, who's actually, you've got to watch a video or something, but is there any like books where you can be like, oh, there's a tune to this as well? Like, you know, I know about all the OT, all the like speechy ones where it's like, we're going on a bear hunt, we're going to catch a big one. You know, like, I mean, there's heaps of ones out there, one of wars, but I'm sure there's Christian ones as well. Hit me up. I'd love to hear those recommendations. Yeah, that's what my current thing is. Look, Joanne, do you ever miss your old life and what it used to be like?
No.
Well, that was very quick. I didn't expect that. Wow. You really have changed.
Yeah, I know, right? I reckon it's God's goodness, Holy Spirit changing me. If you asked me the same question a year ago, 5 years ago, I'd probably be like, nah, want to go back to work. Want to be productive with my time, because it seems like you can get more out of your time at work being at a job versus being at home. But I definitely don't miss, you know, being at full-time work. Even now, the flexibility that I get with, you know, being part-time, I get Wednesdays and Fridays where I get to go to women's life group where we do Bible study. I get to catch up with friends on a Wednesday. And it's a very, very, very special season of life that I can enjoy, because you don't get time. Everybody's time poor, but being intentional with the time that we do have and being able to catch up with people and seeing how they're going with life, that is so precious and way better than just going to work a 9-to-5 and getting some cash. Because, you know, we are building friendships and relationships, and this requires investment. So no, would I go back to full time? Unless we financially were desperate, I would. But even then, I've also been, I guess, challenged to think about, yeah, the time that I have, what am I using it for? If I'm only using it to, I don't know, spend time on Netflix and Insta and Facebook, then that's also something I need to step back and think about. But I have been trying to be intentional with my time to catch up with people, invest in my children's lives, build connections and friendships, and, you know, my gospel friendships. That's been really good. And you can only do that when you have time on your hands. So yeah, that's been, that's something that I've definitely been reflecting on in the last couple of months. And I think as moms as well, sorry, I don't know if I'm talking too much or digressing, but we have this, like, I don't know. It's like a, it's such a blessing to be able to hang out with other moms and kids and build that relationship. Because, not saying that it's hard, but like, if you were a stay-at-home dad, which is still totally okay, like if you go out to a park and have a play date, it's just harder for a dad to connect to a mom. Like, if I saw a dad versus a mom at the park, I'd probably gravitate towards talking, getting to know the moms or like the ladies first. I think
likewise, a dad would gravitate towards a dad mate.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. That's cool. But, you know, you don't really get a lot of dads at the park either.
Yeah, sure.
So you might just be standing by yourself. But, you know, as in, you could do that too.
Yeah.
But I've definitely been embracing the fact that, yeah, it's cool to be a mom. There's a safe space that we can create where children aren't afraid of you, and you can talk to the kids, and you can connect with the other people around the at the park. And that's building friendships, or just getting to talk to them and asking them how their life is going, how parenting's going.
Yeah, right.
So it's been, yeah, no, it's actually a very precious time that I have now.
Yeah, so I mean, you get opportunities everywhere, and I suppose where you're closing one door of work or full-time work, then you've got suddenly all these new opportunities to meet new people at the park. Yeah, you know, that's still time that you're using and just getting to know members of your community, being faithful in those respects, and who knows what might come of that. If God's put you in this situation now where you actually get to go to the park 2 hours a week or something, and you get to chat to this person 2 hours a week, man, that's huge. Yeah, seeing value in your other times. But what would you say to people who do love doing their work, who do love, you know, say working in those secular jobs or whatever it is, they're still a parent, and they still love that part as well, but they also love work? Because I know not every, even not every mom would desire to go fully, I don't know, fully taking care of the kids all the time. Yes, it's an important part, but maybe they get a lot of joy out of working as well. What do you reckon?
No, I think that's a super important question. That's a good question. I would say, as in, you know, the series that we're going through now, you know, working on our front lines, I think it's the intentionality behind what we do. So if we're just going to work because we enjoy the job, which is fair enough, like, you know, you guys, and there's people out there who really, really are like amazing at their job. But I would say maybe still pray for opportunities that you can still show Jesus to those around you. And also continue to, when you do have time with the children, to show Jesus. I think as a parent, and especially as Christian parents, we are called to show Jesus to our kids. I don't think we're only called to put food on the table and clothes in their backs. So there is a responsibility that we have, that we can be, Christian models to our kids. I mean, that's really important. But I, would also pray that we would keep showing Jesus on our front lines. So even as a mom, being at the park, doing the groceries or whatever, or enjoying work as a mom, and going out to secular work, but also praying that we get opportunities to show Jesus in our front lines. I think that's important. Not just going to work because you just enjoy it, or going to work because it pays the bills. I would pray that, you know, God has placed you in a job for a reason, not just to work. Is what I would think about.
Okay, so it's really considering all of life and all those opportunities wherever they are. And thinking about, I guess it's just the whole, like we sort of said earlier in the podcast, just thinking about where your values are, and what's important, and making choices around that. That's ultimately what it is. There's no right or wrong answer in terms of you should be doing 60% of your time at work and 40% with kids, or it should be 70 or 30, whatever it is. There's none of that.
No.
If you do enjoy work, keep going at it. It's fine. But also think, if you do have kids, hey, do they need you more? I don't know. So, that's an interesting thing. And I guess we'll keep exploring these thoughts as we go through this sermon series. But that's very cool. All right. As we get towards the end of this, any last pieces of advice? Anything to get off your chest? I know you've got so much to get off your chest. It's whether you want to share it.
I always tell couples who don't have children yet, if you want to get deep with the Lord, have children. It's such a, like, if you can have an opportunity to have children, it is, you know, and you're putting it away or putting it aside because you're fearful of it, or you just are enjoying your couple life, which is also cool. But having kids, it's
a whole nother level.
It's a whole nother level. I don't think I've had to trust God so much until I've had kids, because you can't rely literally on your own works, because you can't control your children. And I'm just praying every day, like, dear Lord, help Oliver go to sleep, because I don't know what else to do to keep him, like, in bed and not waking up. Or, dear Lord, help me, like, have patience with my children, because I keep giving them the right colored plates, then they get angry and they get mad at me, and then I get angry, and you know, these are the things that can't be controlled. And I'm just going, dear Lord, help me. And so it's been a great journey, and I know there's still so much for me to learn, but it's a joy. It's a joy to be a parent. It's a joy to be a mom.
It's a special realm of patience that you can't access until there's an inconsolable and uncontrollable.
Yes.
And what is another word I'm looking for? Nonsensical. Can't reason. Unreasonable person.
Yep. And it's hard, but...
And they're your flesh and blood, so it's really your fault. It's your DNA. Because you always say Oliver's just like you.
Exactly.
Looking in the mirror.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why it resonates with you a bit more as well. Because you go, no, dude, that's just me.
Yep. Yep. And then I'm like, Mike, look after your daughter, because she's like you. And that's just what it is. But dear Lord, help us.
So when we come sort of at the end of each podcast, we answer a question from the crowd. And the question this week is it wrong to want to fulfill our potential and follow our dreams? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Especially since, I suppose, there's an angle from being a parent where that turns your life upside down. Does that change anything? Or maybe it doesn't, maybe it does. Is it wrong to want to fulfill our potential and follow our dreams? What do you think?
Ooh, Is it wrong to want to fulfill our potential and follow our dreams?
I guess it comes off the back of saying that we have potential to do any number of jobs. It's not just, and maybe, you know, I guess this sort of talks to talents and stuff, which we'll be looking at in a further sermon later on. But yeah, how do we use our talents or specific God-given gifts? And should we be trying to maximize that?
Well, like you said, I think we have been given gifts and talents to excel in the stuff that we do. And I'm sure and I know there's lots of Christian people who are amazing and are professionals in their vocation. And they used it as a platform for them to show Jesus to, you know, lots of people and, you know, reach those who aren't Christian. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I guess I would look at the heart motivation behind them doing that and the reasons for why they want to reach their potential. Yeah, I think everything we do is a heart motivation, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So if you are an amazing, I don't know, lawyer, engineer, coding person.
Researcher. For all the coding persons out there, tell us what your job's actually called. Tell Joanne what it's actually called.
I'm sorry. I'm like so out of it now. Please, I apologize. But yeah, I guess if you... Like God's given us talents.
Yes.
God's given us, and these are gifts that we can praise God for. So I don't think we should keep them hidden either. But if we can use it to... I guess, like I said, like praying for the opportunity in the workplace that you've got to then show Jesus is probably the one thing that should be on our back.
Sure.
Our minds.
Yep.
Not just rocking up to work and just fulfilling your hours and leaving or getting the project done. But if you can work with integrity that can show the people around you that you are very different.
Yep. Yep.
I think that's cool.
That is very, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of when you want to use your talents to do the best in your job, let's say that's one view, and only if you utilize your skills that you can be the best, whatever it is. I think that's a very limited view of your skills, because really your skills could be applied anywhere, and dreams do change. I think that's probably the main thing, especially as a parent. Now I realize dreams can change over time. You know, you might want to be an athlete and you work your whole life as an athlete, but as we know, all athletes eventually have to find something else to do when they're no longer in their prime. So then, is that their dream? Yes, it was. But then dreams also change. Then what about their skills? So I reckon our potential for anything is quite extraordinary. We could do all sorts of things, and it's what we do with it, like you were saying, that it really comes down to. Because say you have incredible negotiation skills, and the best negotiator in the world might be like a, I don't know, hostage negotiator. Now, you think that's the fulfillment of your talents. But hey, man, you try to negotiate with a one-year-old.
Exactly.
If you if you can use your skills in that realm, who's to say you're not fulfilling your potential there?
Damn right.
I don't know. That's just a thought. But dreams change and your potential could be for so many different things. And ultimately, what's it for? Is it to... Yeah, it does it promote those opportunities that we get, take advantage of them.
Yeah, I said I'd share another story. I have a sister in our church. She's amazing at planning, and like her attention to detail is amazing. And now she uses her skills and her talents to look after the creche and manage like the resources that we have in Sunday school. And that's the stuff that she learned from like secular work. And now she's using it to serve our church. And can I tell you, it's amazing. Like you're doing it for a different purpose, but it's still something to be rejoiced and celebrated about. Like you don't need to, gain recognition from the secular world. We can still do it to serve God's kingdom. Sure. So it's a cool thing. Yeah. 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 So heart motivation, I think, is a big thing.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, Joanne, for coming on this week. It was all very last minute, but to give you guys all an idea of what happened was I messaged Joanne. I said, hey, you want to come on? And she said, yeah, could, maybe. And then she showed up at my house the next day. I don't know how that happened. Must have been after life group. No, I said, you're coming into my office and we're just going to have a chat.
Literally within 30 minutes, I am now seated.
Yeah, so we sent Trish and the rest of the kids off. And then I think they're at the park now. So thanks for your time is what I'm trying to say. It was great to have this chat with you. And yeah, it was a good fun, great joy.
Mm.
Feels kind of weird.
But it is very weird.
Also okay.
I don't think we've spent as much time talking.
I don't think that's before. True. No, I think that's right. I think we've spoken plenty of times. Oh, so last soundbite, she's my sister-in-law as well. So that's why. Yeah, we only really talk about heaps of stuff. It's just maybe not this much dedicated time.
Yes.
Without yes. chasing off.
And uninterrupted. After.
Yeah, that's the word, uninterrupted. Very good. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.